Now, Brother Gus Nichols told me that he appreciated deeply the speech that I made last evening, and so far as I'm aware, there's no difference between what he teaches and what I teach. As Brother Woodson, I'm told, emphasized that this morning. So Brother Woods is in harmony with his belief in this matter, then we're in harmony. And I believe exactly what I believe now when I was moderating for him in various debates and helping in other ways. Now, this is a liberal teaching now. Why wasn't it liberal then? I preached exactly what I preached then and now. But I want you to note the following propositions, which are logically entailed in this view, that the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God only through the Word. First, one receives the Holy Spirit by receiving the Word of God. If that's not the truth, I'd like to hear Brother Woods deny that it's so. If one does not receive the Holy Spirit by receiving the Word of God, let him explain how we receive it. The only way one receives the Holy Spirit is by receiving the Word of God. If that's not true, let him explain. One receives the Holy Spirit when he receives the Word of God. If that's not true, let him make it clear. I certainly would not for a moment ever seek to say that anyone's teaching anything they're not. So I was simply dealing with these matters last evening in a very general way, what I felt was a problem arising in the church. And that the only way the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God is through the Word of God. A dilemma is faced by anyone who espouses this doctrine. Now, brethren, I may not know many things. I don't make claim to be wise, but I have studied logic. It is a matter of my everyday world. It is assumed that you know the basic principles of logic. Either of these things must be followed, it seems to me. One must choose one course or the other to follow this doctrine. Either this one first, since one receives the Holy Spirit when he receives the Word of God, and since one receives the Word of God before he is baptized, and since one receives the Holy Spirit because he is already a son of God, Galatians 4:6, it would be logically implied, it would be logically necessary, following this line of reasoning, that one becomes a child of God before he is baptized. Now, I know that you do not believe that. But it is logically entailed with the doctrine, just as we had to show the brethren who opposed orphan homes and Herald of Truth, that many things that they had not yet realized were entailed in their doctrine, and it took some time to help them to see it. On the other hand, here's the other horn of the dilemma. Since one receives the Holy Spirit when he receives the Word of God, and since one receives the Word of God before he is baptized, Acts 2:41, and if there's some difference in receiving the Word there and receiving it after you become a Christian, I'd like for that to be explained in detail. And since one receives the Word before he is baptized, and since one remains a child of the devil until he is baptized into Christ, it follows that it is possible for a child of the devil to receive the Holy Spirit today. I'm sure you don't believe that. You don't believe the logical conclusion to it, but it is logically entailed in the doctrine. Thus, it would follow that there is no special sense in which the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God. And incidentally, Dr. Brents makes that very point, that if this doctrine is true, then there is no special sense in which the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God, so far as I recall reading it. When the Bible teaches that children of God are sealed with the Holy Spirit, this simply means that they are sealed with the Word of God as the instrument of the Spirit. When the Bible teaches that children of God receive the Holy Spirit as an earnest of their inheritance, it does not mean they receive the Holy Spirit, but they receive the Word of God, which is the instrument of the Holy Spirit. And this means, in the light of Acts 2:41, that those who receive the Word before they are baptized are sealed with the Holy Spirit and receive the earnest of the inheritance. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. As I emphasized last evening, there is a phraseology which has crept into the minds of brethren or in their usage, which leads to confusion. And that is that the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God independent of or separate and apart from the Word. Now, I don't know who teaches that. Likely there are some who do. I certainly do not. As I stated last evening, Brother Woods use the word conjointly. My phraseology was, the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God in conjunction with the Word of God. It is a conjunctive situation, not one of disjunction. I believe the Holy Spirit plainly teaches, or the Bible plainly teaches, that the Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God in conjunction with the Word of God. Now, in Acts 2:41, as Brother Woods made this point, if I got him correctly a moment ago, he said that since the point has been made that the Holy Spirit dwells in conjunction with the Word of God, that therefore the same problem would be faced relative to Acts 2:41, that they who received the Word were baptized, and therefore, according to my view, you would receive the Holy Spirit before you baptized, but not so at all. This hinges upon the very vital point that God gives the Holy Spirit to a Christian in a very special way. The man in the world, before he's baptized, receives the Word, which is the instrument of the Spirit. What Paul said in Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit. As I gave you the logical argument last night, these two cannot be the same. You receive the Word of God in order to become a son of God. You receive the Spirit because you are a son of God. Now those two cannot be the same. They simply cannot be the same. Now, brethren, you cannot laugh that away. If it's dealt with, it's going to have to be dealt with upon a logical basis. The point is sometimes made that the Holy Spirit does nothing. The Word of God doesn't do. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. This is not a gift the Holy Spirit gives us. It is the Holy Spirit himself. This is made clear not only in Acts 2:38, but Acts 5:32. Galatians 4:6. This Holy Spirit then seals us as children of God. The word seal there means something which marks as genuine. A child of the devil can receive the Word of God, but he is not marked as a child of God. He does not receive the Holy Spirit, though he receives the instrument of the Spirit. Brethren, surely you can see that point. That when we become children of God, when we're baptized into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this seals us or marks us, much as a college might put a seal on a diploma. This marks it as a genuine diploma, not a pseudo one that someone might slip into the administration building at night and steal. If any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his, Romans chapter 8. This fits right in with this context here and makes it clear that unless we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, this is not sealed by the Word. We receive the Word before we're baptized. Then further we learn that the Holy Spirit is given to children of God as an earnest of their eternal inheritance. Now that means that we are given the Holy Spirit as a pledge that we will receive the rest, which is eternal life in heaven. This is not given to the child of the devil who is out in the world, though he's on his way to becoming a child of God, remains a child of the devil until he's baptized out of the world into Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to strengthen the spirit of the inward man. Paul prayed for that. I told some brethren recently that I wasn't going to get too excited about this until they stop practicing what I preach. As I emphasized last evening, when men go into hospitals where terminal cancer cases are, they pray for those people to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inward man. I'm certain that you do. And I believe the Bible authorizes us to tell a man who says, I'm weak, I know what the Bible tells me to do, I can see here's the path down which I should walk, but I need some help from God. And Paul prayed for the Ephesian brethren that they might have that help, and the help he talked about was to be strengthened by His Spirit in the inward man. And that was in conjunction with the Word of God. And if that be heresy, brethren, make the most of it. The Holy Spirit dwells in the body of the child of God. Paul reasons in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. And then he then contemplates the possibility of a man taking his body and joining it to a harlot. He pictures this as a crime so heinous as to be almost unthinkable. Shall you take that body, that temple in which the Holy Spirit himself dwells, when he says, which is in you? Now this is true of a man. A man in the world can receive the Word of God. But you are not a child of God until you are baptized into Christ. Let me note this in closing. We receive the Word before we're baptized. Acts 2:41. We receive the Spirit after we're baptized. Acts 2:38, Galatians 4:6. We receive the Word in order to become sons of God. Acts 2:42. We are sons of God, or we receive the Holy Spirit because we are sons of God. Brethren, that has been taught by faithful brethren since the Lord's church was restored in this land of ours. It is taught by the great majority, I have no doubt, of faithful brethren today. I plead with you that you be willing to examine the evidence, that we all remain brethren and work together. So far as I'm concerned, I have just as much love for Brother Woods and those who stand for him as I ever did, and it is beyond my ability to describe. It is my earnest prayer with all of my heart that we shall work with one another. And this was the basic plea that I was making, and not against one another. Let us deal with issues that arise among us, but let us learn that the great task before us is to carry the gospel to the world, and we are hardly touching the hem of the garment. If you don't believe that so, then I plead with you to examine what's going on in the world. Thank you, Brother Wood.
Unfortunately, Brother Warren feels that these remarks, whether with reference to higher education or with reference to the Holy Spirit, are directed at him. Now, I know not why he draws that conclusion, unless he feels that he has to defend the position every time it's attacked. Now, Brother Warren is not the only one in the country that holds these views. And so far as he is concerned, he has a perfect right, number one, to believe what he wants to regard. And I have not the least desire, in any fashion whatever, to, in any way, to disturb him or embarrass him. I had not mentioned his name. Much of what I said today had no relation whatever to him. I felt that he took a full hour last night to justify his position, but not satisfied, he wants a further effort today. Now, as for the 25 minutes, I was quite a part of the discussion over yonder today, but I didn't get up there because I thought, well, I'll take care of it this afternoon. But I had a speech of last night to refer to, at least indirectly, and also the matters discussed over there. So I took the time to set out the issue. Now, I would like to say once for all, we're not opposed to higher education. If Brother Warren wants to get a doctor's degree, that's his business. And I don't consider that anybody has any right to even criticize him for it.
Amen.
But now I tell you what I don't appreciate, now that the subject is up, the insinuation that all gospel preachers without such are ignorant characters unable to meet the issues of the day.
Amen.
Now, these brethren will serve their cause better if they quit making that insinuation. Well, may I say further that repeatedly we were assured that somebody needs to prepare themselves to meet the issues of the day. Well, apparently we have nobody that can meet the issues of the day. Well, now, we've got a lot of men with doctor's degrees. Norval Young, Batsel Baxter. They're by the dozens around over the country. Have these fellows been failing all these years? So now, Brother Warren, we are not... If anybody has said something about this that upsets you, certainly it's not my intention to, and I apologize if I said one word that reflected upon your effort to get an education. May the Lord bless you in it. And I certainly have no criticism to offer, because I don't think that anybody will ever shake the faith of Tom Warren regarding the inspiration of the Bible and so on.
Amen.
And because I don't believe there's a better man on earth than Tom Warren. But I think he's unduly exercised about this man. And he's too sensitive about it. And I wouldn't have mentioned this if he hadn't himself injected it, because we all love it. We're not mad at you, Brother Tom. And I would be glad if he would just simply, as far as possible, be able to harmonize, if his views are the same as Brother Nichols. Brother Nichols' view is the same as mine, so that makes us the same. I would just like to ask a question or two. Brother Vaughn, what is it that the Holy Spirit does to you that the Word came? Would you come up here and tell us?
Brother Woods, I've explained that last evening and today. I've explained that the Holy Spirit is given as a seal to the child of God. This is not the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit is given as the earnest of our inheritance. This is not the Word of God. Both of these, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Paul prayed that the brethren might be strengthened by His Spirit in the inward man. And as I've indicated in 1 Corinthians 6, the Holy Spirit is given as a deterrent to sin in addition to the Word of God, in conjunction with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit which is in you, the very use of the fact that He refers to the body of the Christian, that it is a temple of the Holy Spirit, indicates that we're to contemplate our bodies, the dwelling place of the Spirit, as a strong deterrent to sin, and He contemplates the particular sin of fornication. Now, there are four things that the Holy Spirit does, not separate and apart or independent of the Word, but in conjunction with the Word.
Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, what does it do that the Word doesn't? You're telling me that it does that with the Word.
I didn't say it did anything without the Word.
Well,
if there's anything that I emphasize, Brother Woods, it is that it does nothing not in conjunction with the Word. I emphasize that by saying over and over, it is not disjunction, which would mean independence,
well,
but conjunction.
Can I say then that the Holy Spirit operates insofar as the Christian is concerned only by means of the Word?
I believe the Holy Spirit Himself dwells in our body.
That is not the question. Answer the question, can or does the Holy Spirit do anything apart from the Word of Truth to us?
Well, I'd rather answer the question the way in my own language. The Holy Spirit dwells in the child of God and in conjunction with the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit Himself, not only the Word of God. Now, Brother Woods, I'll be as good to you as you were to me. Do we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive the Word of God?
Now, first of all, I have already answered that.
What did you say?
I pointed out, number one, that when a person obeys the gospel, of course the Word enters into his heart and governs his life. But may I point out to you that is because, as Brother Lipscomb said, it permeates his life. Now, it's very true. You put leaven, take a little leaven and put it in the meal. There's a time when it's just the leaven by itself and the meal is separated. That would represent the fact that the Word is preached and perhaps is received. But then as it influences the life, controls the life, as Brother Lipscomb so ably pointed out, then, of course, he is filled with the Spirit. As Paul said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. But I want to answer those four points now.
Well, just a minute, Brother Wood. You didn't answer the question that I asked. I asked, do you receive the Holy Spirit when you receive the Word of God? Now, we receive the Word of God before we're baptized. Now, does a man receive the Word of God before he's baptized? Does he receive the Holy Spirit when he receives
it? I just explained it to you, Brother Warren. As a matter of fact, Brother Warren is wanting me to do, to put in his words what he was unwilling to do in mine. But let me answer your four points. Number one, he says that the Holy Spirit is given us as a seal. I remember at least 35 years ago in discussing that with Brother Joyce Wally, who had heard Baptist preachers make that argument in debate. He said the seal there is a stamp. That is, it is a mark of approval upon the individual. The stamp of approval of the Holy Spirit is upon the Christian. And it's that kind of a seal. Secondly, with reference to the earnest, the word earnest just means a part payment. Now, does he mean that the Holy Spirit is the part payment? If so, that means we'll all get the baptism of the Spirit over yonder, because an earnest must be paid in exactly the same thing. It has no reference there to the Spirit as such. The earnest there is a down payment on salvation in heaven. That's what it means. He's mistaking the meaning of the passage completely. And thirdly, with reference to our bodies being a temple of the Spirit, nobody questions that at all. That's not the issue. The issue is how. But our time is 5 minutes over. Surely, Brother Warren, you've had ample opportunity to state your position. Are you satisfied?
Well, I'm satisfied with mine. I'm not too satisfied.
That I want us to take home with us. I think Brother Bradfield expressed a feeling that may be too prominent a while ago when he thought that somebody was going to shoot at him. I don't consider that anybody's shooting at me. If they think I'm in error about something and they're trying to correct me, and if they're arguing against my position, that's not a shot at me. Why, if a man shows me I'm wrong, why, he has helped me. He didn't shoot me.
Amen. Amen.
And so I feel that it's the most wonderful place in the world to come. It's to Freed Hardeman College. Because you don't have to feel that you're shot at. You can get up here and say what you believe. And not blame the school with it or get your kinfolks blamed with it. And you don't have to be shot. You can just be taught, be helped, and go back home rich in knowledge that you didn't bring with you. And I like the liberty that's at Freed Hardeman College. I like this idea of letting a man say it. And then, if he finds he's wrong, let him go away and think it over and correct it as far as he can. I've said plainly over and over what I believe. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit operates in any miraculous way upon the Christian. I believe he does dwell in the Christian's heart. I'm not going to argue that. I believe he's actually in us, just as Brother Warren does. In a real sense, different maybe from what others believe, that but he's personally really in us. But I do not believe this doctrine, brethren, that he's leading us and guiding us or revealing anything to us directly. If anybody believes that, then I'm not in that group.
Brother Harper?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'd like to point out a serious thing that I think we better think about. I want to ask you a question. We have a radio program known to all of you. What's going to happen to that program when that's about Baxter? Should he preach it literally, personal, direct, actual, indwelling of the actual spirit in our literal mortal bodies? And then when Brother John Ladd and Chalk should come on the next program and deny that, that program's dead, and you better believe it. Now then, when Freed Hardeman College comes, you listen to me, 46 years ago I came here. Freed Hardeman College is divided in its Bible department, you better believe it. Now when these teachers go before these students, good, honest, dedicated men, against whom you couldn't find a thing in the world unless one way or the other somebody thinks they're wrong, when they walk into this student body, Brother Warren says, I believe what he does,
next class time they walk into this student body. When they walk into this student body, Brother Warren says, I believe what he does. The next class they go into, and the next teacher said, I don't believe that. You've sent 700 students away from here so confused that they become a prey for the very men.
Amen.
That Brother Warren said he was trying to equip himself to save them from. I tremble today. My personal conviction is that he doesn't in that literal, personal way dwell and lead and direct. I haven't time to talk about that. But I am afraid of what's going to happen. I'd love to make this closing statement. All we have, brethren, is the Word of God. That's all you've got. You have the revelation of the mind of God to us by the Spirit. The world's got to obey it or be lost. Now, everything we've said here today will not make the Holy Spirit fail to do something he should. Nor it won't make him do something he oughtn't to do. I believe if we leave deity alone to do what it's going to do and be sure we've done what the Holy Spirit has revealed for man to do, God will do his part. And all I've got is the Word of God. That's all. And the only thing I know to do is what's revealed. I'm going to do that. But there's one thing about it. The man that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ is none of his. I'll have to bid some of you boys goodbye to judgment because I'm lost. I don't believe that. Now you listen to me. It's serious. The Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit he talks about here, is not going to dwell in the heart of a man who doesn't believe that he literally, personally, and actually dwells in the literal physical body of man. I can't believe that. And yet it said, if I have not the Spirit of Christ, I'm none of his. I'm lost. And that's the only ultimate conclusion in my mind. It becomes a serious thing. Brother said to me the other day, he said, Brother, oh, he dwells in you anyway. You just don't know it. I said, oh, no. That's like being saved 20 years ago. Born again 20 years ago, but didn't know it. Now, this is more serious than the thing. Let's not go away from here all excited. Because these are good men. And I love these men. Guy Woods. Tom Warren, I love him to the day I die. We've been together in a lot of things. We may differ. This thing's too serious to go off now, heated, and not give us time, as brethren, to sit down and save a church from what could be. We're too good men to do that. And every one of us believes in the Bible as the inspired Word of God that you have to do it. Every one of us believes that. Let's stay with that thing. And the Holy Spirit will do what he's going to do in spite of us. And he won't do a thing in what he's not supposed to. That may not make any sense. But when I put one man on our court preaching one thing, another man preaching another thing, it's gone. It's gone. It'll do that to your church. It'll do that to a school. And we're all too precious. And our souls are too precious. And our schools are too precious. And we need our school for anything to hurt us. Think about that. Think about it seriously.
Brother Wallace and Brother Dixon.
I would like for all young men going away and others to think about this fact as you go. Several years ago, I had a debate with a gentleman, and he stood up and said, now here's four propositions or three. You have to take one of them. I said, no, I don't take either one of them. I don't have to lay hold of that dilemma. It's self-made. The question is that if a man receives the word here, does the sinner receive the word? Let me tell you. There was a man moved to Christ except by the Holy Ghost. He moves everything. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw it. Written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter, and he shall convict the world. Did the Holy Spirit convict those people? Did he convict them? He's a comforter to the Christian and a convictor to the world.